Luke chapter 22. St. Luke's Gospel chapter 22. St. Luke chapter 22. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. St. Luke's Gospel chapter 22. Good to see our visitor come in tonight. We're glad he's here with us. St. Luke's Gospel chapter 22. I want to read something very serious here and give you a little scripture picture, if I can, of where we're at here in the Bible. St. Luke chapter 22, we're actually in the last week of Jesus Christ's life, and it's on Thursday afternoon. And matter of fact, probably a third or a half of the Gospels cover the last week of Jesus' life, as we know it, called Passion Week. And it began when he went riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Remember that? Luke chapter 19. And they throw those palm leaves down. And that was on Sunday. And then Monday is when he went in and cleansed the temple for the second time and seen the barren fig tree. And then Tuesday is when Judas decided to betray him. Wednesday, the Bible is silent on Wednesday. And then Thursday afternoon is when they take the Passover feast. And he talks about with Peter about feet washing and things of that nature. And then it's Thursday night. They have been to the Garden of Gethsemane, and where Jesus prayed as till his sweat became as great drops of blood. They came with swords to arrest him. And then the Bible said that Peter followed afar off. And then verse 54 says, Luke 22, verse 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of him. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Somewhere, somehow, Jesus was close by. I don't know if it was through a door, but right at that time, the Lord looking out through the darkness, and Peter out there by that fire, and as he denied the Lord thrice, and he heard that rooster crow, all of a sudden, somehow, his eyes took a hold of Peter's eyes, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Amen. I feel like the Lord has laid something on my heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your love, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I thank you for, God, every heart, every life here. I thank you for every need. Lord, I pray that I have clarity of thought and clarity of speech, Lord, and let me, God, allow me to say exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say tonight. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. In Christ's name we pray. And everyone says, amen. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Wow. And the Lord turned. Peter's outside. They have arrested Christ. It's on Thursday night. Very next morning, Jesus will be going to the hill called Golgotha, carrying his cross. It's the night before. Judas has already betrayed the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane with a kiss. And now here he comes. They arrest him. They bring him back to Pilate's house here. And somehow through all of that, the priest's house, somehow when Peter denies the Lord to those men around that fire, amen, he is looked on by the Lord. And somehow it touches Peter's heart to remember. Jesus doesn't utter any words here. He doesn't speak anything. All he does was look at Peter. And that's what I want to preach tonight. I want to preach about the eyes of Jesus. That's what I want to preach about with the Lord's help, on the eyes of Jesus. I don't know if you ever thought like I have. Amen. I have wondered sometimes, what did Jesus look like? I wonder really what he looked like. We've already agreed, most of you would agree, these pictures, these paintings are just a figure of a man's imagination a few hundred years ago. They are not the real Jesus Christ. Amen. But, you know, the Bible doesn't give us any physical characteristics of what Jesus looked like, how tall he was, what color of hair he had. Yeah, you can read in Revelation, but then it's after he's back to the Father and he's glorified. It's a different, and here he's on earth. And I like to look at, I, of course, one writer said, as I was reading and studying some of the last two or three days about the eyes of Jesus, he said, notice all the paintings of Jesus usually have blue eyes. And one writer said, usually, probably he did not have blue eyes, but for the painter, he wanted to make Jesus universal. So he probably painted him with blue eyes for that reason. I do not know. We weren't friends. I didn't know him then. He lived a few years ago. But the writer said that he probably no doubt had dark eyes. I do not know the color. But I'll tell you this much. It is a well-known fact that the eyes of Jesus have always held a fascination for those who are eager to know how he looked when he lived in ancient Galilee. Students of the Bible have often speculated about his vision. Artists and sculptors have reserved their finest skill for the portrayal of his eyes. The eyes reveal a secret of a man's heart. I remember, amen, when Jonathan first started talking to Sabrina. I mean, I we'd talk and different things. I wanted to look into his eyes. I've heard old timers say, I like to look in their eyes. I can tell a lot by looking at a person's eyes, you know. You might know what I'm talking about. I like, look at me. Don't look down. Don't look over here. And, you know, there's some people that they look at you. They're talking to you. And they're talking to you, Daniel. They're looking up. But I just had this eerie with me. I don't know. I'm just different. I got a first cousin. She's like that. She'd be talking to you. And she never look at you. She looks all around you, but she'll never look at you. Well, I don't think Jesus was like that. I think he was a man among men. And when I read about his eyes, and I, you know, they are over 60 passages and the four Gospels alone that mention about the eyesight of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. I mean, the Bible talks about his eyes. The Bible talks about his face. The Bible talks about his arms. The Bible talks about his hands. The Bible talks about his feet. There's several characteristics through the Bible, and I'm not for sure, but I might preach on one of the other ones next Wednesday night. I'm not for sure on that, but just in prayer. But I want to deal tonight with the eyes of the Savior. How many has ever noticed? How many has ever looked at missionary pictures of children in other countries? It isn't the torn clothes that grab your heart. It isn't even the little pot bellies that grab your heart. But usually it's those eyes, those sunken eyes of those children. Something about eyes affect us, don't it? I mean, you ever just sensed that? And I remember hearing Brother Randy Webb preach a message on stolen eyes years ago, and he told about he had a picture out of Life magazine, how that some mean men went over there and done some mean things, and so no one could tell, and different things. They actually took the eyes out of one of the boys, And I remember now what exactly how it was, and they were doing that, and they was bringing them back to the U.S. and selling them to rich families who had blind children, things of that nature. I want to talk about the eyes of Jesus. Have you ever noticed in the Bible how Jesus was noticed small things? I mean, he noticed sparrows. He noticed the grass of the field. He noticed, just consider the lily. I mean, he noticed so many things that probably a lot of folks wouldn't even notice. He noticed a lot of the little things of the Bible, did he not? Amen. Matter of fact, the word eye itself, E-Y-E, is mentioned over 100 times in the Bible. The word eyes is mentioned 532 times. The word seen is mentioned 91 times in the New Testament alone. The word look is mentioned 27 times in the New Testament alone. I'm telling you something. The eyes play a great part of a man's life. I told this afternoon in chapel service about Fanny Crosby, who in our songbook, in our hymnal that we have here at the church, amen, wrote over 8,000 hymns. She was blind from a birth. She never knew the color of blue. She never knew the color of green. She never knew the color of yellow. And when somebody asked her, said, Fanny, how do you keep from getting bitter? How do you keep from becoming just mad at God or wanting to sue God like this senator has? What? And she said, well, when I get to thinking that the first thing I will see, amen, well, I will see the face of Jesus Christ. She said, it just so just thrills me that it just takes away from me being blind. I want to preach tonight about the eyesight of Jesus. There's a scripture. It's found in the book of Luke, chapter number 21, where Jesus sounds like he's watching folks take up an offering. Amen. Are you with me? Anybody ever, I heard Joey Hyatt say one time, he said, when you go hold revivals, preachers, he said, you don't know whether to bow your head and pray. Because folks are going to be thinking, well, boy, he's really praying for a big offering. He said, but you definitely don't want to ever look at the offering pan, because thinner folks are going to say, well, he's sure worried about how much he's going to get. He said, so really the offering, during the offering, it's a real hard time for a preacher. You don't know whether to close your eyes and pray or what, you know, but there was a time in the Bible that Jesus, amen, looked and he saw men casting their gifts into the treasure. And the Bible said, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. Amen. And he said of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. You talk about the eyesight of Jesus. Nobody else probably seen that. Nobody else probably seen that. Nobody, the priest probably didn't notice that, but Jesus did. Amen. I'll tell you something. Jesus took time to stoop down and take care and hug and caress small children and love old men. When his disciples try to shoo them away, Jesus, amen, said, you know, suffer them not. Allow them to come unto me. Don't get in the way here. He took time. You remember the scripture in John chapter 1 when it talks about Nathanael. And the Bible said that Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, and whom is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, Jesus said, what? I saw thee. Amen. I would tell you, I might not know the color of his eyes, Brother Daniel. I can't tell you whether they were dark or blue or whatever the color may be, but I want to tell you that really doesn't matter, because I know the Bible tells me that his eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. When I get to thinking that the eyes of the Master, the Creator of heaven and earth, God's only Son, amen, is watching over me, it just amazes me. I don't know if anybody else here, how many's ever raised chickens? We got any chicken raisers here? Been a long time, but I have raised chickens. Anybody ever watch a mother hen over those little chicks? Woo! I mean, she watches over them. Her eyes are over them. Amen. It was about a year and a half ago, a couple years ago, Dad was still able to get out one of them little wheelchairs and them little motorized deals out in the yard. And he had a hen, or my brother rather had a hen, and it had several little chicks running around there. And I thought he would sort of go pet her, you know, or one of them little chicks. And so we're all like, no, son, you better not do that. She'll pluck you on. Well, he didn't, you know, he ain't never been around anything like that. So he didn't pay no mind. And so we just all sitting there in Dad's garage and looking out. And next thing I know, he goes out of sight, and he sort of walking after them little chicks, and they go through there. And I see that mother hen, brother John, just sort of ruffle of feathers. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, I see him go out of sight. And then about 30 seconds, here comes Ike running. What happened? She blocked me. She just went like this. I said, I told you. She didn't understand that mother hen was watching over those little chicks. Amen. That don't even compare to knowing that God watches over every one of his children. Hallelujah. Amen. I heard a story, whether it be true or I do not know, but I remember years ago hearing a preacher tell that he knew of a farmer that had a hen. And she had some, we call them dittlers in Kentucky, and most people don't call them that. They call them ditties and chicks, and I don't know what y'all call them out here. But anyway, little baby chicks, and she had a little place in the corner of the barn where she would go at night with those little babies, and somehow the barn caught on fire. Amen. And the next day, and they went out there and scraping through the ashes and different things, and didn't burn all the barn, but just part of it, and they got the rest of it, and a lot of smoke and different things. And the old farmer went out there the next day or something like that, and he seen something round, sort of just covered in soot and just black all over, and a corner that hadn't been burned, just smoke just filtered that. And he went over there and kicked it, sort of seen what it was, and all of a sudden it was that mother hen who had lost her life, and all those little chicks came running out under her. Amen. That little smoked, dead body of their mother. But I will tell you what my Bible says. His eyes are over the righteous. Amen. I said his eyes are over the righteous. I don't know about you, but I was studying this week, and I've been reading about this 3 or 4 days, and I thought, how many times, as Brother Joe testified a while ago, Brother Joe, you know what that was? That was a providence of God. It was God that saw. Amen. He had a forethought. He knew. God knows in the past. God knows in the present. God knows in the future. That's a little bit more in my sermon. I'll get there in a few minutes. Right now, I'm just talking about his normal eyesight. God watches over us. Anybody ever had close calls on the highway? Anybody ever had close calls? I mean, go to pass something, or I mean, just don't even know. Hallelujah. I know it's sort of a country song, but that Jesus take the wheel. There's a pretty decent message in that. Amen. Amen. Jesus take the wheel. Amen. And I like that line where it says those babies were in the back seat sleeping like a rock. Myself, don't fall out with me, okay? Amen. It's a religious song, semi-country, whatever. I don't listen to country music, so all right, don't fall out with me. But I have heard that on gospel station and whatever. Amen. But what Jesus take the, hey, he knew. He knew. He watched over us. He watches over us. I mean, he looks over. When you think of the eyesight and the Lord's eyes. Do you remember the Bible said in Mark chapter 2? Amen. When there was no room in the house to receive those men. You remember that? And Jesus, amen, they went up there and began to dig through the roof and try to let that man sick of a palsy down where Jesus was. And the Bible said that Jesus saw their faith. I mean, he got x-ray, brother. I mean, he looks right into their heart. Amen. Amen. The Bible said, amen, in Mark chapter 5, amen, about the woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of his garment and was virtue. She felt virtue. He had felt virtue leave his body. Amen. And the Bible said he looked around to see her. Amen. To see her. How do you know it was a her? He's God. I said he's God. I said he knows everything. Stay with me. We're going to try to preach to you with the Lord's help. Amen. I was in devotion this week, reading through the Bible again. I come through the book of Exodus, chapter number 3.
And I found a people that had been down in Egypt. Amen. And there was a Pharaoh that had favored Joseph, but Joseph was dead. And now Pharaoh's died. There's a new Pharaoh, a new king. Amen. A new group of people. Amen. And they're just putting the pressure on Israel. But the children of Israel are crying out to God. And the Bible said this in Exodus chapter 3, in verse 7 through 9, that he said, I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. And what did he do? God seen that oppression. Amen. God heard their cry, and God said to Moses, can I tell you, my friend, it might seem awful dark where you're at tonight. Sister Paula talking about, amen, almost having a nervous breakdown, amen, into it. But can I tell you, Sister Paula, there is an all-seeing God who sees us in our darkest trial. Amen. He knows our inner thoughts. He knows my heart. He knows everything about me. He can tell me what I'm going to eat for supper tomorrow. He can tell me what I'm going to eat for supper 6 months from now. He can tell me what I'm going to eat for supper next year. He can tell us already. He can tell us about next year's camp meeting if time lasts. Amen. God knows. Amen. I don't want to just talk about the eyesight of Jesus. Amen. I want to talk about the insight. Hallelujah. The inside of Jesus. I mean, let's take it a little bit stage further from the thought of just the eyesight. Amen. For the keenest eyesight, however valuable it may be, has its limits. Of course, not with Christ, but just natural speaking. But you may give eyesight elevation by a periscope. You might give it extension by a telescope. And you may give it penetration by x-rays. But can I tell you that Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 9, let me read it real quick. Amen. Or Mark chapter number 9, rather. Amen. That Jesus entered into a ship and passed over and came into his home city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts. Amen. I did not know this, but in the Greek, the word knoweth here means to see, literally or figuratively. Amen. I'm glad you can't see my thoughts sometimes. And I'm sure glad I can't see y'all's thoughts sometimes. Because I'd be thinking, man, they want me to hush and go to the house. Amen. So I'm glad I can't see y'all's thoughts. Oh, I've heard folks say, oh, I just wish I wonder what so-and-so thinks about me. You probably wouldn't want to know. Amen. I wish what so-and-so, I'd just like to know what they think about me. Well, I'm glad I don't. Amen. I got enough problems of my own self, let alone know what everybody thinks about me. But can I tell you, Jesus had insight. Amen. Oh, yes. He has insight into what men think. He has insight into what men mean. I'll tell you something. It's not always what men say that counts. It's why they say it. Jesus knows, amen, our insight. He has insight. He knows. Hallelujah. Men often say one thing and mean another. You ever been there? Men often look one way and move another. Jesus looked at Judas, who was going to betray him. Amen. And he told him, thou that thou doest, do it quickly. Wow. Amen. He knew what Jesus was going to do. Amen. He had insight. You remember Jesus at the well of Samaria? The woman of Samaria, you remember that? How that Christ was sitting on the well of Samaria trying to talk to the woman on spiritual matters, and directly he laid his finger with divine insight upon the sore place in her life. Amen. Remember that? When she said about her husband, and Jesus said, oh, thou hast well said, thou hast had five husbands, and the one thou art with now is not your husband. He knew, and then finally she said, oh, thou must be a prophet. Surely thou must be a prophet. Why? Because he had insight. He looked right into her heart. I want to tell you, my friend, there's nobody like Jesus. I've never had a friend. Amen. I've never had a brother. I've never had a mother. I've never had a father that could know me and love me and care for me like Jesus has. I've had friends forsake me. I've told friends. I remember years ago, probably 21, 22 years ago, I told my best friend something that could hurt several other families, and I hadn't told anybody except him. He come to me in about 3 days later, and he said, I could not handle that. He said, I've told two or three. And can I tell you, from that day to this, I have never, and I say that cautiously, I don't say that braggingly or anything of that nature, but I have never to this day ever told anybody one thing that I did not want told. I mean, I've told things in confidence, amen, but if it was really, I didn't care who they were. I didn't care, best friend, preacher, it did not matter. Amen, I got burnt that one time, but you know what you can do? And what I have learned, amen, I have learned that I can go tell Jesus, amen, and he doesn't tell us so. He's never told any of my faults. He's never told my secrets. He's never told of my faults and my failures that I went to him and confessed in secret. I'm glad that he has inside. I'm glad that he has inside. I'm talking about the eyes. Amen. His eyes are over the righteous. Are you getting this? I'm not just talking about a man. I'm not just talking about some mama or mother. I'm talking about Jesus. Amen. My friend, his eyes watch over me. His eyes watched over me. I got up this morning, something at 7. He was there watching me. When I was down here last night about 11:30, studying for tonight, he was here watching me. I was driving down the interstate 2 or 3 times a day. He was watching over me. Amen. There have been times that he watched over me that I did not know that he watched over me. And it was 2 or 3 years later that I finally found out. And I look back how that he did watch over me. How that he guided me when I didn't understand. And when my eyes couldn't see by any way out. Our eyes, what is, I don't know the exact limit of our eyes or what a human eye can see, several miles. Does anybody know? Amen. Several miles a human eye can see. Amen. But can I tell you? Amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Woo. Thank you. I remember a preacher. Now you might not agree with this, but I know this man personally. And he don't even joke. He is very serious, an older man, probably about 70. And he told a story. I heard him tell it. He just cried. You don't tell it much. But he had a boy that was in Vietnam War. And he got to praying one day. He hadn't heard from his boy in months. Of course, radio back then, you know, he didn't have a television, but radio was just, you know, just bombing and all the killings and, you know, no internet, no stuff like we have now, that just instant communication, you know, like they did back then. And this old preacher man, good friend of mine, and he said he got to praying about his son over in Vietnam. God, is he all right? Oh, God, is he all right? Lord, is he all right? God, I can't see him. But God, you can. Is he all right? Just give me that assurance, Lord. Let me see. He got to praying and he got to fasting. And he went into a trance, he said, like a vision. And he said he walked into a tent. And there on the bed sat his son. And he conversed with his son in this vision. And his son said, Dad, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. And in essence... And then he come out of that vision, come out of that trance, and felt the peace, felt the Holy Ghost, and went on. Didn't tell anybody, I don't think, about what happened, if I remember correctly, maybe his wife. But then several months went by, maybe a year, and his son, you know, called, and they talked. But finally the son got home one day later, like Sister Carolyn was talking about this boy from Iraq, and finally his son come home, and Brother George said that one day they were talking. And Dad was saying, you know, man, I was so worried about you. I was concerned about you. And he said, well, he said, you'll never believe something, Dad. He said, but one day I was sitting in my tent, and he said, there come a knock at the little tent door there. And he said, right out in the middle of nowhere, he said, I opened that door, and there was an older man standing there. Now, I'm just saying, this is what he said. This is a homeless man. I'm talking about charismatic. I mean, it's a holiest man. And this boy said, and this older man come in and just patted me on the shoulder and asked me how I was doing. And he didn't stay long for about a couple of minutes and said, Dad. And then he just, well, I got to be going, son. And he walked out the door. And then a minute or two that he said, I got to thinking. He said, I opened that door and there wasn't nobody there. I don't know all about that. I know God can do anything. Come on here. Amen. I'm telling you, God watches over. There was a godly pastor, a godly father. I'll tell you, the Bible says you can find him when you search for him with all of your heart. I believe God can tell you, don't you? I believe God can see. He has insight. He said he has insight. He knows. He knew about, amen, that lady named, they called her Aunt Helen. That godly saint of God, I think, went to Carl Ely's church, who'd been on a fast for 37 days. She was the lady that was so close to God that she was, her and another lady was cooking one day. Amen. They was boiling water, fixing the cans and stuff. And the other lady, amen, got that boiling water off that stove with that just extremely boiling. And it somehow it slipped on her arm. And it burned her arm just instantly. She started screaming, threw the pot down. And Aunt Helen, this godly holiness woman, been on a 37-day fast, grabbed a dish towel, slung it over that arm, and started praying. Amen. And the Holy Ghost come on the scene. I said, y'all believe in the Holy Ghost, don't we? Amen. And the Holy Ghost come on the scene. And both of them started speaking in tongues, having church, right there in the kitchen, Brother Russell. And all of a sudden, they took that dish towel off, and it was just like, just normal. There was nothing even appeared to like they was burnt. I'm telling you, God watches over his people. Aunt Helen was asleep one night. Talking about the eyes of Jesus now. Aunt Helen was asleep one night. And all of a sudden at the foot of her bed, she woke up. And she said it was a devil at the foot of her bed. And said he was just laughing. I'm talking about, I did not know this lady, but they said she was almost godliest, prayingest, pray for hours a day. Godly, godly lady. And she said the devil spoke to her and said, I'm going to take your son to hell tonight. I'm talking about the eyesight of Jesus now. The inside, the master watches over us. And all of a sudden, she said the devil just started laughing and said, I'm taking your son to hell. And she said he just laughed with just a gruesome, just a sarcastic laugh. All of a sudden, she began to pray, I rebuke you, devil. You're not taking my son to hell. Her son drunk and different things. She said, you're not taking my son to hell. You're not going to take my son to hell. And they said that about the same time, there was a fast flood in that area. And they had them low water bridges like they had years ago, and said he was crossing about 3 o'clock in the morning. One of those low water bridges that had about a foot of water over it. He thought he could get through. Amen. And the story goes, the police report, they said, I haven't seen it, but they said it was documented, that the only thing they can think is he was trying to go across that, and the water took his truck and began to twirl over in that old muddy river there. And all of a sudden, somehow, amen, he was thrown out of that truck, out of that vehicle, and in a log, amen, they said, I heard a preacher tell, it was his aunt, natural aunt, he said, in the log, pinned her son up out of that river with his feet hanging down in the river, and a log pinned that boy up out of that river, and said when they found him, he was alive. You know why? Because God seen it, and God showed his mama, and his mama got up and interceded. Amen. How many times some of you mamas here have been awoken by the Holy Ghost in the middle of the night? Anybody ever been like that, Sister Karen? Just feel urgent. Amen. Just pray for so-and-so. Pray for somebody. That's God. It's his inside. Amen. You can't see Johnny. You can't see Sally. You can't see your children everywhere they're going. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that when you pray and say, God, watch over my children. Oh, God, when they're in danger, you watch over them. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like a praying mama. Amen. It's better than all the nuclear war systems. Amen. The United States Army. Amen. Cannot compete with a praying mama who prays and says, God, watch over my children. All of heaven, amen, interceded for that lady named Sister Helen. Her son didn't go to hell because somebody was watching over that godly saint's children. Hallelujah. Where would we be without the eyes of the master? Woo! I tell you, sometimes we're limited in where we can go, aren't we? We can only be at one place at one time. I mean, I'd like to be up there helping my mom. My stepmom, one that's been here, when y'all know. I like to be up there, help her cut her. I like to be up there and just help her. But I can't be there because it's God's will for me to be here. I like to be there, but I know there's a God that I can say, oh, God, would you watch over my mama? Oh, God, would you watch over my mama? Would you watch over, Lord? Would you watch over? Amen. Oh, God, would you watch over my mama? Amen. Maybe this ain't helping y'all like it did me. But I'll tell you what the Bible said in John 10, verse 14. Jesus said, I know my sheep. Hallelujah. He has insight. I mean, you might dress up, have whatever you might. I mean, you might look like a Mennonite. Amen. And be a devil on the inside. Amen. He'll know. Or you might look true blue like a homeless woman or a man like you should look. Amen. And he'll know that heart. Amen. That's humble. That's pure. Oh, God, search me. I want you to look at. I want you to get in my heart. I want you to get in my life. I want you to watch over me. I've given God my hands, my feet, my mouth, my ears, my finances. I give God my wife, my marriage, my children. Everything I am, God, I give to you. Watch over me, God. I sanctify myself. I sanctify my marriage. I sanctify my children. I sanctify everything I do, God. I ask for the blood of Jesus Christ. Put that hedge around my children. Put that hedge. I've prayed for Sabrina and Jonathan's baby. It ain't even here, Brother XL, but you better believe there's a grandpa right here that's already praying. I ain't waiting till there's trouble. I'm praying right now. God, watch it. Amen. Watch it, Lord. In that wound, God, you form it just like you have. Amen. John the Baptist. God intervene. I can't see the baby. Amen. But God can. It's not a come on here. It's not some fetus like the world wants. It's a baby. It's got a soul. God, watch over it. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people see. You see, when you look at this, it's sort of in a negative sense. Peter had seen those eyes, and he was condemned. That comes when the Holy Ghost, you ever had the Holy Ghost talk to you? You ever have tongues interpretation come forward? You knew who God was, had your number, so to speak. Oh, yes, I got to hurry. Amen. Not only does he have insight, but he has foresight. The Bible said in John chapter 18, verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth anyhow to Jerusalem. He knew. I said he knew. I said he knew before he ever got there. Matthew 21, give you another example. Jesus coming in, you know, right before that Passion Week I talked about earlier. Jesus sent the disciples, said, you go down there to the old farmer. There's going to be a mule down there. Come on. It's going to have a coat right next to it. You go down there and say, when that farmer asked you, you asked for that coat and said, he asked for you, what need, you know? You said, he'll send it. Don't you worry about it. Tell the master have need of it. Come on here. He knew. He knew it was already down there. He knew it was in that red barn, if it was red, whatever. Probably wasn't red, but he knew. He knows. He knows. I said, he knows. He has foresight. That's why I ask him, Lord, God, I'm fixing to buy this right here, Lord. If you see, God, it's not your will. If you see, it's going to cause me to stumble. If you see, I'm not going to be able to afford it. If you see, it's going to get in my way. God, please hinder this somehow. Don't let me buy this. Don't let me do this. Don't let me make that choice. God, my eyes, amen, don't let me be caught up with emotion here. Oh, you know, sometimes folks get caught up in the heat of the emotion and sign on the dotted line when they ain't prayed about it. You'll get in trouble. And then get up and murmur and complain. And how hard a time you have. We're having such a hard time. Well, you signed on the dotted line. Nobody had a gun. I better move on with that one. I can't afford to pay my tithes. I just can't afford it. Why can't you? Not God's fault. They just, a north wind blow through here. No, they didn't. I'm just kidding. I love you. But that's true. And have you, I'm serious. It's sort of humorous, but that's right. Where did I get off on that? Foresight. Man, oh, man. I can, where is it at? Joshua. I want to thank within the first 8 or 9, 10 chapters somewhere in that area. There's that group that those men come over, disguise themselves and trying to make a lead with them. And which man is it? I can't remember right off. I could turn to it, but I don't tell him. And he don't go pray about it. He just believes everything they've said, and you know, and he just takes them on in, and then they find out he's been deceived. Remember that? Find out, you know. And the Bible says plainly, because thou did not ask counsel of the Lord. You remember that? I see Brother Earl getting his Bible. Let me see if I can find him. That's good. I read that. That helped me. Is it Joshua? Or am I thinking right? Amen. We get stunned right here. Yep. Joshua chapter number 9. I was close. Joshua chapter 9. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. In verse 14 it says, and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. I preached one time from right there on the most stupid mistake you can make. And I don't mean to be cruel on that, but that is one of the most senseless mistakes a child of God should make, is not praying about something. Can I hear an amen? Come to piano, girls. I'm closing. Not only his insight and foresight, but what about oversight? His eyes, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. 1 Peter chapter 2, 25 says it like this, the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. What's a shepherd do? He watches over. Come on. He said, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. Wow. The eyes of the Savior watches over me. That's in a positive sense. Boy, I tell you, if we could get that when we're tempted, the devil's talking to us, ain't nobody around. If we keep that right there thought, he sees me. Joseph, he kept that in his mind. How can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? I mean, he was a young man. They could have been a long-term affair there. But Joseph knew God would see him. Wow. The eyes of Jesus. You ever wonder what he looks like? You ever wonder what his, you ever think about his face? You ever wonder why Thomas said, I won't believe until I see his hands? Why didn't he say his face? You ever wonder about that? Why did Thomas ask for his hands? Why didn't he say, I won't believe until I see his face? I won't believe until I see his feet. I won't believe until I see, but he said, I won't believe until he see his hands. That's next week's sermon. I ain't going to tell you why by now. Let's all stand. What was Jesus like? I can't tell you the color of his eyes. I know it's mentioned over 60 times in the four Gospels alone. The eyes. How many remembers when you first got saved? The trees looked greener. The grass was beautiful. Flowers. Didn't notice things like that. I mean, you just look different. Let's pray. Come on. Everybody that will. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you'd like to come and pray, you're welcome. Preacher, I'm into it. I'm in trouble. He knows. He sees. He cares. Come and kneel. You're welcome. Sing, girls, sing. As an eagle.
As an eagle or her young.
Ah, Lord, think about it.
As gentle as a summer breeze
that
blows.
Oh, yes, sing
it. Who is refreshing.
I feel the Lord trying to help somebody
here.
He sees you where you're at, friend. Listen.
As lovely
sweet rose of Sharon.
There's peace and
Woo!
Triumph.
Peace and triumph.
When you speak
His
name. Love.
Some of you wondering, does God really care? Oh, yeah. He knows right where you're at. Feel like the Lord wants to tell somebody. He sees where you're at.
Woo!
Oh, yes.
Always understands my
He understands my blues.
Blues.
Woo!
He just smiles and hums
Listen.
A happy melody.
Hallelujah. He knows where you're at, son. He knows what you're going through. He hasn't sent you here for no reason. Wanted you to know, hey, I'm looking over you. I'm watching over you. I've got a plan for your life. I got a purpose for your life. Enemies trying to destroy you. Hallelujah. Oh, sing it, girls, sing it. I feel the Holy Ghost wanting to help somebody.
There's peace and triumph when you speak.
Oh, yeah.
Sunshine in the midnight.
Yes, you are, Lord.
My guiding star that's
Come on. You don't have to leave here defeated, Saint of God. You don't have to leave here down and out.
Jesus, sweet Woo. Rose of Sharon. There's peace and triumph when you speak. Precious Jesus. oh.